Good morning, everyone. This morning we are in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And this is an interesting chapter in that Paul really is defending his character, he's defending his message. He's defending the fact that he wants the Corinthians to trust in the gospel that he's proclaiming. And as we've mentioned throughout this letter, Paul was under attack from some false teachers who were trying to undermine Paul's authority, and they seemed to have some success in Corinth. At this point, Paul is relieved that he does believe that for the most part the Corinthian church is responding well to him. He got a good report from Titus, but you can see it's still an issue in that Paul is still concerned that people are not going to fall in line with the gospel that he's teaching. And, you know, it just reminds me today of our world and even the church. And let me explain. You know, today there's a real battle for what's true. It's really hard to discern. Now, I'm not talking scripturally for the moment, but just even in the world, news, trying to discern what's true. There's competing voices all the time trying to give us messages about what's true, and we have to try to discern the truth among many messages. And it's challenging because there's a lot of false media out there, and this is on both sides. So it really is challenging to arrive at the truth. And you know what? It takes some effort, and it takes some spiritual discernment, I would say, as well. And that goes for the church, too. You know, I really think it does take effort to be in the truth. It does take effort to wrestle with the whole counsel of God's Word to arrive at what is a logical, rational, spiritual truth from the Bible. And, you know, sometimes that spiritual truth is also embracing some mystery. You know, I think one of the challenges that the church faces is that, you know, a lot of people have learned, whether, you know, from your past, you've learned a certain way to think about the Bible. And then, you know, you don't want anything to come against that way of thinking. And, I mean, this is in so many different areas. And what really is needed is a full researched, full counsel theology where you really look at what all the Bible has to say in light of the new covenant, and then from that research be able to come to whatever conclusion is required, and whether that's a black and white conclusion or whether the conclusion that maybe some people have learned, there's a little bit more gray or a little bit more mystery to it. Well, listen, the Bible's clear except for where it's not. So, you know, what I would do is this. Like, what we have here in 2 Corinthians is we have a competition for the hearts of the people of Corinth. Are you going to believe Paul, or are you going to believe these other teachers? Now, they didn't even have the full measure of the New Testament word at that time. Now we do, you know, and we have this canon in front of me. I've got, you know, a big study Bible, and you know, it's all there in front of me. So now we can analyze it and look at it even to a greater degree than what these folks could in that day. When Paul was writing this letter, you know, it wasn't part of the canon yet. Now it is. So we have that advantage. But I would look at all things, you know. I mean, I look at when I look at a preacher, I do look at their character, I do look at their life, I look at what they say. I look at how it compares to the full counsel of Scripture. And, you know, that's why, you know, and I just want to encourage you and also, you know, compliment you that you've been going through this podcast, that you're going through the whole Bible. Because, you know what, there's no sense arguing about Scripture when you haven't even read it all. Because, you know, you don't even know then. I mean, it's so important. What I'm trying to stress is it's so important to know the whole Bible, and then you're able to better rightly divide and discern what the whole Bible has to say. But if you don't know that, if you don't know the whole Bible, you only know what you've been taught. And some of it's probably very good, but some of it may not be or maybe slightly off, but you wouldn't know unless you studied it for yourself. And unfortunately, you know, people have got an angle, right? When you're learning from a teacher, they've got an angle. They've come to a conclusion. And when you're learning from them, you're learning from their conclusion. And if you haven't read the whole Bible and studied it, you don't know how to balance the tilt that someone's giving you. You don't know how to balance it against the counsel of God's word. So it's really important to take in the whole thing. I will say that in my desire and my effort of preaching is to be clear wherever it's clear, and where it's not clear to let you know, and where common doctrines, teaching, summary statements that people have long believed, where that's countered by God's word, or where the God's word adds a little bit of mystery to that doctrine, I'll let you know about it. And because, you know, I'm not just going to fall in line with somebody's summary belief until it lines up with all of God's counsel. So with that, that's really what we have here. We have a wrestling match between Paul and these false teachers for the hearts of the Corinthians. And Paul's trying to not only turn to his teaching, but also show his character in this chapter and say, hey, listen, you can trust me because look at what I've been through in order to proclaim this gospel. And I mean, gosh, it's quite an impressive record what Paul has been through. It's kind of sad, though, that he had to go to this extreme in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you know, sharing everything that happened. It has a measure of desperation in it because he longs for them to listen to him and know the truth. All right, with all that as a backdrop, let's get in. I wish that you would bear with me in a little foolishness, but indeed you are bearing with me. For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I betrothed you to one husband, so that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin. And, you know, he's caring for them and saying, listen, I taught you the gospel through Jesus, and I presented you to him, and I don't want you to turn away from him and what I've taught. But I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. And isn't that interesting? You know, the devil came along and said, did God really say? And, you know, basically, the devil, what he did is he got Adam and Eve, starting with Eve, to doubt God's word. God gave them a word not to eat of the tree. Satan came and said, did God really say? He didn't really mean it. He got them to doubt the word of God. And that's the way he thwarts people from following Jesus today too. He gets them to doubt the word of God. Don't doubt the word of God. Revere the word of God. That's why this podcast is revering the word. Honor, respect, fear, and highly elevate the status of the word of God in your life, that you believe it, because that is how it will have the greatest benefit on your life. And once Satan's deceptions get in there and get you to doubt it, it can throw you sideways in your life. All right, but I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. For if one comes and preaches another Jesus, from whom we have not preached, or you have received a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you bear beautifully. And he's saying, listen, be careful, because people are going to come with a different message, and be careful that you don't fall for it. For I consider myself not in the least inferior to the most eminent apostles. He's saying that, hey, you know what? You should trust me as you would one of the other apostles. He was an apostle, different from the original 12, because he didn't follow Jesus during his life, but he did have an encounter with Jesus and revelation from Jesus. And Paul had a transformed life, man. He was persecuting Christians and then became one of the most incredible missionaries of all time. And he's saying, listen, I shouldn't be considered least in compared to them. I'm like one of them. But he says, even if I am unskilled in speech, yet I am not so in knowledge. In fact, in every way, we have made this evident to you in all things. And, you know, that's important. You know, there are people out there who are maybe very persuasive, who may be very skilled in getting you to clap and, you know, and get excited and stuff like that. And, you know, praise God for the gifts of various preachers. But I would say make sure they're grounded in knowledge, and that they're grounded in character, and that you're just not following theatrics, but you're following substance. Or did I commit a sin in humbling myself so that you might be exalted because I preached the gospel of God to you without charge? And, you know, Paul talked a lot about money in the previous chapters, and for the most part he was raising that, it appears, to take to Jerusalem to support the saints of Jerusalem. But he said that he, when he was in Corinth, he wasn't charging them for doing his ministry. But he does say this: I robbed other churches by taking wages from them to serve you. Kind of a strong way of saying it, but other churches supported him, and apparently he did not want to, you know, get too involved in asking for money when he was there in Corinth. He didn't want people to, you know, be able to discredit his ministry, so he got support from other churches to do the ministry he was doing there. And when I was present with you and was in need, I was not a burden to anyone, for when the brethren came from Macedonia, they fully supplied my need, and in everything I kept myself from being a burden to you and will continue to do so. So it's interesting because he's saying he was careful to not need money from them, yet he did spend two chapters talking about the money that he wanted to raise from them in this book, but apparently that wasn't for himself, but again, for the need of Jerusalem. As the truth of Christ is in me, this boasting of mine will not be stopped in the regions of Achaia. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows I do. He's saying that he wants to be able to continue to boast that he's not having them support his personal needs. I think he's real careful for whatever reason in Corinth that he doesn't want them to, you know, think of him wrongly in regards to monetary giving towards his ministry. He's saying, my love for you is genuine, but what I am doing I will continue to do so that I may cut off opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the matter about which they are boasting. And it appears there was some division about, you know, the false teachers and what they were asking for money and what Paul needed as far as money or what he did not request as far as money. And apparently this was a point of discussion, and it seems that's what he's talking about there. But now he's going to get in pretty deep to these false teachers. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Isn't that interesting? And, you know, Satan was considered an angel of light that got corrupt, and he's basically comparing these false teachers to that kind of corruption. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. And sadly, you know what? There are people who are out there, you know, on TV or maybe doing podcasts or whatever, that are really doing it for their own need and not genuine in their followership of Jesus. And we've got to be careful who we're following. You know, you got to be careful. When you're listening to a teacher, man, you want to check their credibility. You want to just listen for their authenticity. You don't want them to be too high on monetary things. Now, a preacher's worth his wages, so to speak. I mean, the Bible talks about that. So it's not wrong for someone to make a living in ministry, but you want them to be honorable in the way that they conduct their lives. And you have to check and listen and compare to the Word of God, whoever you're listening to. Remember, we're not following man. And if you're following, revering the Word, what I want you to do is follow the Word and follow Jesus, and I'm trying to teach you rightly about Him, but don't follow me, so to speak. You're following Jesus. And as a teacher teaches rightly about Jesus, praise God. But don't put anyone on too high of a pedestal, because we're not following man. And you're not following me, you're following Jesus. Again, I say, let no one think me foolish, but if you do, receive me even as foolish, so that I may boast a little. And this is where it's kind of a interesting setting that, you know, God allowed Paul to get into here in talking about why you can trust the Apostle Paul. And it's quite a record of his life and what he's all been through. And here's what he says: what I am saying, I am not saying as the Lord, but as in foolishness in this confidence of boasting. And that's kind of interesting, because he's almost saying as though this really isn't directly from the Lord. You know, so I don't know exactly what to make of that. It's in God's inspired word, but he's going to kind of go on a bit of a rant here about his, you know, why we and they can trust him. Since many boast according to the flesh, I will boast also. He's actually saying he's kind of doing this according to the flesh. For you, being so wise, tolerate the foolish gladly. That's quite a criticism. He's like, you guys have listened way too much to fools in the past, so listen to me for a moment. For you tolerate it if anyone enslaves you, anyone devours you, anyone takes advantage of you, anyone exalts himself, anyone hits you in the face. To my shame, I must say that we have been weak by comparison. I guess he's saying that they've boasted all the more than he's about to boast, the false teachers that he said that the Corinthians have put up with them. And that's kind of sad in a way. Like, think about this for a moment. You know, let's say you weren't following me. You know, again, you are following Jesus, but you're not listening to my teaching. Or let's say you do attend the church that I teach, and let's say I was gone, or you attend another church, and let's say it gets into false stuff, and you're falling for it. Like, Paul is kind of frustrated. Why do you guys put up with this? Why are you guys listening to this false stuff being proclaimed? And I want you to be advanced in the understanding of the whole counsel of God's word, so that you're going to be able to, whether I'm present or absent, you're going to be able to know when someone's not teaching the truth. May that be true. Verse 21/B, second half of 21. But in whatever respect anyone else is bold, I speak in foolishness. I am just as bold myself. And here's where he's going to get into it. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. Remember, you know, the Apostle Paul was trained under Gamaliel, you know, as a Pharisaical Jew, very highly trained. And praise God he was, because that Old Testament understanding that he had really helped him to be able to understand the foundation of the Christian New Testament gospel. And we're blessed that Paul had that kind of background to teach from. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I am more so. In far more labors, in far more imprisonments. I think Paul, like, he normally doesn't talk like this about himself, and I think he kind of, like, in a way feels bad about it, or, like, realizes he's in the flesh, or it could be misconstrued, but yet he's like, just give me a moment. Let me tell you all that I've been through and see if you can trust me. He says, far more imprisonments, beaten times without number. Like, he can't even count how many times he's been beaten. Often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. They used to believe that 40 lashes would kill someone, so they would only do 39. That Jesus likely received that as well. And he's saying, 5 times I received that. That's pretty incredible. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship, through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. Wow. I'll tell you what, as much as Paul really didn't want to have to boast about all that, it is pretty incredible that this man faced everything he faced, and he continued preaching the gospel to the end. How much more should we be faithful in our cozy lives to be able to remain faithful to Jesus all the way to the end? You know, I'm grateful for the Apostle Paul. What an incredible journey, and what a remarkable man to not give up despite all that hardship. Who is weak without me being weak? Who is led into sin without my intense concern? Paul saying, you know what? Part of my challenge is just how much I care about the gospel being proclaimed, and you know, that was a, he anguished over that, wanting the Corinthians and wanting others to know the gospel. And when he left the city, he was very concerned as to whether they were going to remain steadfast or not. If I have to boast, I will boast of what happens to my weaknesses. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, he who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. And Paul's saying, listen, everything I just said is true. You can trust me. He was a man of truth. In Damascus, the ethnarch under Aretas, the king, was guarding the city of Damascenes in order to seize me, and I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall, and so escaped his hands. I wonder if he learned that from the people of Jericho when they were hiding with Hagar. I believe something like that happened in their lives as well. Well, there we have it. What a chapter. As I said, it's kind of too bad the Apostle Paul had to go out of his way to defend himself in that way. And I trust that the Corinthians learned that Paul was authentic. They could trust him. Remember, we're following Jesus Christ as revealed in the Word. Thank God for good teachers who point us to the truth. But please make sure you're always examining what you're teaching, you're being taught, excuse me, and compare it to the Word of God. And you know what? Let's say you think you heard something that you don't think lines up, or you're not sure it lines up. Approach someone. But listen, some doctrines, in order to understand them rightly, it's going to take some time. You know, sometimes people will, you know, send me a question and they want like a simple answer. And it's like, you know what? It's not simple. Would you like to get together? And that's what I'll do. Listen, because we might have to spend an hour or two to dissect the answer to your question through a lengthy exposition of Scripture. And because there's so much that goes into discerning truth. It's not just like, oh, it's 1 minute, one verse, oh, we're done, you know, put lipstick on it. No, it doesn't work that way. There are some things, and listen, I don't want to give you an incomplete answer, or I don't want you to be shortchanged in your understanding of certain Christian doctrines, because in order to really understand why I believe what I believe, and I'm talking about me now, you'd have to know what I know. And so now, there's a lot of doctrines, there's a lot of Bible to consider, but if we're talking about a specific doctrine that somebody believes in, we've got to look at all the passages that relate to that doctrine to find out if it is clear as what some people are saying. And I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to put in that work. But some people really, they don't really want that. You know what they want is they want just a summary position. They want to put a bow on it and say, that's the way it is and let's move on. And they don't really want it. They don't really want to examine it to that degree. Well, if you're not willing, you might not get at the truth then. You might be happy with your summary position, but you know what? It may not be true, but sometimes people don't necessarily want to put in the effort. You know, what I'm trying to say is, listen, I think this stuff matters. And, you know, if you're in proximity to me, and even if you're not, you know, we could get on a phone call. But if you want to understand the full measure of a doctrine, be willing to put in the time then, because he is worthy and right doctrine is worthy. And I'm willing to do that. So I hope this helps in some way for you to be careful with who you're learning from and to make sure you're comparing everything to a full study of the Word of God. God bless you all.